Thank you, Lord, for the worship we've had this morning. Well, it's always interesting when you think about what God wants you to do, what you want to say this morning. And I've been thinking about this for a few days and during the week, and I saw some of the songs, and it's quite interesting. I talked about these to Rebecca on Tuesday, and some of the songs reflect to what I'm going to say today. So it's not remarkable, it's what you expect from God, but it's always, I always think it's great. I don't know about you, but there's a phrase which is used quite often amongst people, that they have selective hearing. Anybody been accused of having selective hearing? I admit it. It's all right. Yeah, or you're not listening, you can't hear what I'm saying. Anybody else? Okay, I'm not the only one here. And it reminds me of a joke. There was a guy who thought his wife was getting hard of hearing. And so he thought, I'll do a little test. So he went one day, she was in the kitchen chopping stuff and at the sink at the bench. And he walked in and he stood in the doorway and he said, what's for tea, love? Nothing happened. So he went a bit further into the room and he said, what's for tea, love? Still no response. So he worked a bit further and said in a loud voice, what's for tea, love? Still no response. So he went right up behind her. Just as he got behind her, she stopped chopping, turned around and said, I've told you 3 times. So we've got to be careful what we say about hearing, don't we? Because it's often not us who has the situation. So, but this morning, I want to talk about hearing from God. Because I think we have selective hearing from time to time. So I just want to talk about that this morning. And I also want to look at what things can we do to make our hearing improve. In other words, how can we improve hearing from God? Last time I spoke, I talked about new beginnings or new wine. And I said the definition of a new beginning, I thought, was the point at which something introduced or not existing before starts. And I believe God is going to do something beginning here this morning. I've sensed for about a few days now, I believe God's going to do a new beginning in some people's lives here this morning. So I'm just praying for that. So I just ask that your spirit is open to what God wants to do this morning. But over the last few weeks, we've been praying that God will guide us. God will show us his plan. God will show us everything he wants to do in this place. So how do we know what God is saying? How do we know that what God is answering us? I suppose I could, I'd be a very wealthy person if I had a dollar for every time a person said to me, but how do I hear from God? How do I know it's God? It's a pretty common question that people say that. So I'm just going to tell you a few words. I'll talk about a few ways that we do hear from God this morning. As I said, then I'll talk about what some of the things I think which we can do to improve that hearing. The key to hearing from God might seem pretty obvious. It's to listen. How many times do we pray and not listen? I'm guilty of it, I know. I've been in many prayer meetings where I sometimes think, sitting there, and there's so much being said that I think God is just waiting to tell us something. And I always say, he's probably up there going, oh, well, I'll wait till they've finished. But God really wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us. If we ask him something, God will tell us. God will talk to us. And I really feel we need to listen more. If we're asking somebody a question, you know, we listen for the answer. If I say to Peter, how are you today, Peter? I don't worry about the answer. I'm not worried. I'm keeping on now. You know, let's go and ask everybody else. And I remember going to a course many years ago, which was the time management course. How this came up in the time management course, I'm not sure. But a person said, how many times do you walk down the corridor of the office and one of your colleagues is coming towards you and you say, good morning, how are you? It's good to see you. And you're 10 meters down the corridor before the person is able to answer. He said, you don't even stop and listen to what the person is going to say. That shows a lot of interest in how he is or how they are. So we need to listen to what God's going to say. Prayer is not one way. Prayer is not one way. It's a two-way conversation with God. And I believe we've got to get into the habit of that. And you can sit down and have a conversation with God. It's really fun. You know, God's got a sense of humor, which I'm very pleased about. He really listens to us, and he really will answer. So what are some of the ways that God speaks to us? What are some of the ways that God does speak to us? Well, of course, one of the main ways is through the Bible. All his words are in there. Everything we want to know is in there. I call this God's life manual or his workshop manual. If you want to know something, it's all in here. And he will speak to us through that. And there's a couple of passages which tell us that. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And in Romans 10 it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God speaks to us through his word. And when we're reading his word, this is a way you can get God to speak to you. When you open up your Bible to read, don't just go and start reading. Say, Holy Spirit, please reveal something to you from your word for me this morning or this afternoon or whenever you're reading. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you something from the word of God. And he will. He'll show you something. But when you want an answer, don't just go to your Bible and go, what's the answer? That's what I call Bible lottery reading. And there's a well-known story where somebody went and said, I need to get some guidance for my life. And he went like this and opened the Bible and it said, Judas went out and hung himself. And he thought, oh, no, that's wrong. And he went, go there and do likewise. That's not the way of reading the Bible. That's not the way of getting God to teach from the Bible. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. And it's often sometimes when you are praying, he will point you to a passage of scripture for the answer. I've done that many times when it happens, when you're asking for God's will. He will talk to you through other people. God will talk to you through other people. Proverbs 12:15 says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Wise listen to others. Now that doesn't mean you go around looking for someone who will agree with you. You don't. If you want to get the answer, you don't find someone. I think Annalie will agree with me. I'll go and ask her. You know, you don't do that. You ask God who you should talk to, and you need to find someone who is perhaps mature or more experienced in things, and ask their advice. But you don't have to take the advice. You need to be careful about even taking a person's advice. You need to check it against what God is saying to you before. It's often to get a bit of confirmation of what's happening. You know, mentors, if you get someone who's a mentor, that's always very good in your Christian life, because those people will actually help you in your Christian life, and they will hear from God. When I was pastoring the church for 10 years, I had what's called in some places an intercessor. And that was a person I could absolutely trust completely. They have to be a very, very person you could trust. And I would go to this person and I would say, I believe I've got this situation. Could you pray and ask God what you think God is saying? And I trusted that person because I knew they heard from God. I knew that they were really a devout Christian and they really understood. And that helped incredibly. This person would come back to me and say, well, I think God is saying this. And it probably was quite often confirming what I thought already. So we need to look at that sort of situation as well. Circumstances. God speaks through circumstances. Don't discount them. We often say something happens because it's a coincidence. If you're looking for some guidance, it's not a coincidence. It's a God incident. Often God will put circumstances together. And it's there. And we can keep saying, God, guide us, guide us. And he said to me many times, I've told you already. Come on. It's circumstances happen. Things happen. It's not necessarily a coincidence. It isn't. It's often a God instance if you've been asking for an answer from God. It's easy to miss. You can easily miss these things because you're so keen on waiting to see what's God going to say in the Word of God. He might just be talking to you as to what's happening. It's happened in our lives often. Circumstances have come together and you think, you look back on it and think, okay, right. I see why this happened. I see what this happened. I see what this happened. And God does that. If you want an example for that, I mean, like Moses in the burning bush. You know, his circumstances. He was there and suddenly the bush caught fire. He probably sort of called the CFA, but, you know, he didn't. He went and said, "What do you want, God?" And it was God speaking to him. And that was a circumstance that happened to him. Of course, one of the ways as well is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. The Holy Spirit will tell us. He guides in many, many ways. The Holy Spirit guides in many ways. One of the ways, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is the word of knowledge. God will give you what's called a word of knowledge. Now, that's often for someone else. If you're praying for someone, he'll often give you a word of knowledge for someone else. And what the word of knowledge means is basically something you could not know in the natural about the person or the situation you're praying for. It often happens if you're praying for a person. God wants you to tell that person something. Sometimes it's the most weird thing he tells you. I found that at times. I must confess, I've said, "Do you really want me to say that? Do you really want me to say that to that person?" And I pray again, "What do you want me to say?" And the same phrase comes into my mind. And I've spoken this word to this person, and basically they've gone sort of, "Really? How did you know that?" And it was something unusual. Anyway, God does that way. It often comes with something which is called a word of knowledge, which is telling you what to do thereafter. And the other thing that the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. That doesn't mean so you have to be a daydreamer, but you know, he will. Sometimes you get a dream in the night, and God will speak through that dream. Now, you've got to be careful because it can be a symbolic dream or it can be an actual situation. But, you know, don't discount the fact that God might be giving you a dream. You know, visions. There's many instances of visions in the scripture and dreams. Joseph and his coat of many colors, he had a dream. But all his brothers bowing down before him. And that came to pass many, many years later. Joseph, Mary's husband, the father of Jesus, had a dream. Don't go to Egypt. So don't go to Egypt. Go away. Go away. Because something's going to happen. So that was a dream. And visions. The prophet Joel said, "We will have visions. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy." That's another thing the Holy Spirit gives us. "Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions." Well, I sometimes put it the other way around as well. That your old men will see visions, your young men will have dreams. I just don't want to be sort of segregated. I think we can have dreams and visions. But they can, as I said, they can be actual symbolic. Just be careful how you interpret them. Maybe you're going to ask someone else, what do you think this means to me? Another way, this might seem strange, is just thoughts. Your thoughts. You have a thought. If you've been asking about something, you have a thought about it. Don't discount that. That's it. That's the hardest one in lots of ways, I think. Because it's easy to think, that's just me thinking about it. But often it's God telling you. Often it's God telling you what to do. And of course, the one which is, I'm not sure many people have heard this, but it's an audible voice from God. An audible voice from God. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that, but that happens. It happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. Jesus, a couple of times when he was baptized, and another time when he was speaking to some other people, there was an audible voice came from heaven, and people heard it. I mean, I've heard of people who have heard an audible voice of God, and I don't discount it can happen. It hasn't happened to me, but I think it'd be a bit scary if it did. I thought I'd heard the voice of God once. We were in a service at the evening service at the church I was in, and we were just praying. We had been praying and quietly and we've been worshiping and praying, and suddenly this voice came over the loudspeaker systems, and a scripture was quoted, and I went, "What is going on here?" And it stopped, and we went on a bit more, and this voice came again. Everybody was looking around and saying, like, you know, "What are you going to do, Pastor?" And I sort of was wondering what on earth was happening. And so anyway, it was interesting that the scripture verse which was quoted was very much in line with what we were praying. And it was so it was really quite an amazing thing. And we were thinking, was that an audible voice of God? Anyway, I was driving home and I went past this other church and I saw a lot of people in the church there. And I suddenly thought, oh, and I went up and knocked on the door. And I went in and I said, "Excuse me, have you got a radio mic?" And they said, "Yes." "Is it a new one?" "Yes." "Well, it's on the same frequency. Were you talking, have you just quoted this scripture?" And they said, "Yes, how did you know?" So I said, "Well, I'm not going to say it was God told me, because that might freak you out. But I said, we've just heard it down the church down the road. Can you change the frequency on your mic, please?" So, but you've got to be careful. I thought I heard the voice of God, but we did find out what it was. It's humorous, really, but we need to make sure that we are hearing the voice of God. Whatever you think you've heard from God, always check it against Scripture. Always check it against the Word of God and Scripture. If you think God tells you, like, "Go out and kill this person," that's not script. That's not God. You know, check things against Scripture. It's very important. Be patient. In this day and age, we expect a Nescafe answer. We expect God to instantly go, bang, "Yes, answer me." But often it takes a while. He might just say, "Wait, I'll give you the answer later." And if he gives you an answer, wait and be patient, because it might not happen for a while. It might happen some time ago. What he's told you to do or something's going to happen, wait, because it might not happen. Just be patient with God. His timing is perfect. And I don't know how many times you pray, "Your will be done." You know, "Would you please, your will be done," in a situation or in your life or whatever. "Lord, just let your will be done." And then when it's not the answer you want, you get all upset. "That's not what I thought was happening. No, 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 that's not what I wanted." If you're praying, "Lord, let your will be done," what happens? You've got to trust that that was God's will. And if you get upset and angry, you're getting upset and angry with God. You're basically saying to God, "You don't know what you're doing. You've made a mistake in this decision." We have to start trusting when we ask for those sort of things that God will answer them his way. So I believe that those are some of the ways which we hear from God. How can we improve hearing from God? I don't know about you, but it took me a long time to get used to hearing from God. So how can we do it? How can we improve our hearing, if you like? And I believe it all revolves around our relationship with God. It all revolves around our relationship. Because the closer our relationship is with God, I believe the more we hear him, the more we can talk to him, the more we can have this conversation with him, and the more we'll be open to what he wants to say. And I believe it's a key to our Christian life. The relationship with Jesus Christ has got to be an intimate, personal relationship, and the closer it is, that's the key to our walk with him. And I believe there are three aspects. This is where Peter starts counting. There are three aspects to our relationship that we need to look at. The first thing is, I believe we need to release. I think we need to release things which are in our lives. So many people don't let the relationship from God get to a close situation or any closer because they have things in their life which are stopping it. Things which might have happened in the past. Maybe you got hurt in the past. Maybe people have said to you in the past, "You're no good, this is not going to happen." And you haven't got rid of that. That is stopping you getting into a closer relationship with God. Maybe somebody's done something, offended you. and you haven't forgiven them, or you've taken offense. You've got to get rid of these things. Your relationship with God is affected by all these things. Anger. Maybe you're angry about something. Maybe you're angry about a person or a situation. That impacts your relationship with God. Because those things get in the way. They're a stumbling block to getting in the way with building our relationship. And the Holy Spirit can release you. God can release you from those things. And I've seen people when they've been prayed for to be released from those things. It's one of the most wonderful times when praying for people. Because you can actually see, it's almost like their shoulders almost go bouncing up. And I've actually seen people's face go, a big beaming smile and joy come in their faces when they've been released from these things of the past. And their relationship from God is just instantly changed. Instantly changed. And we don't need to live that way. We don't need to live with these things hanging over us. You know, it's all sorts of things. I've only touched on the surface of them. There's lots of things. And they can be, the Holy Spirit can help you to be released and enter into that life which Jesus promised. That life of abundance. And a life of joy and peace with Him. You don't have to live that way. Take action. Let the Holy Spirit take the action with you and release you from those. So release is so important. There's many things. I won't go into other things as well. It's a whole lot of teaching on its own. But I believe it's so important. Just as we release all sorts of things, we've got to do it for ourselves. Second part, which affects our relationship with Jesus, is change. If we want to have a closer relationship with God, we've got to be prepared to change. You can't go on the same way if you want to change a relationship. Relationships are all about change. Now, God doesn't change. In that situation, we have to change. We have to be the ones that change. You know, all sorts of things. There's simple things which happen. As I said last time I spoke, things like we've always done it this way. That's saying I'm not prepared to change. So how can our relationship with God change if we're not prepared to do things differently, if He says we need to do something different? It's so important. Religion is something which we get caught up in, which means we don't change. We get into a routine, we get into a ritual, we get into all those sort of things. Now, how many times have you heard someone say, why didn't we have a Bible reading this morning? So? We haven't been struck by lightning. You know? Why do we have 5 songs this morning? So? We haven't been struck by lightning, have we? We don't need to worry about these things. These are little things which get in the way of our relationship with God. The things that we want. We've got to be prepared to think that God is doing something different and allow Him to do something different. Not just to say we've got to do this all the time. It's so important. You cannot move ahead if you've got your brake on. You cannot move ahead if your brake's on. As I said to someone in the week, I think, you can't move forward if you can't drive a car forward if you're looking in the rear mirror. It's very hard to drive a car forward safely if you're looking in the rear view mirror all the time. We've got to look at what God wants to do in our lives and move on with Him and change. Our relationship with Him will then change because of we're changing. He wants us to change. Scripture says, be changed by the renewing of your mind. And our mind has got to be renewed each time we come to Him and let our relationship change. The third thing, which is probably one of the hardest things to do, that is surrender. Surrender is the hardest thing, I think, for a lot of people to do. I know it has been for me. It means surrendering our whole life to God. I've said several times from up here, the Christian life is not an add-on. It is a lifestyle. We have to live a Christian life, not add it on to our daily life. We have to allow God to control us through His Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control us in everything. We can't just say, well, yes, you can control me, and when I come to church, you can control me in this, but when I go to work, you're not going to control me at work. It's everything. I wrote down a list of things. What we say, what we do, where we go, our relationships, our work, our leisure, just to name a few. But every part of our life needs to be controlled by him. It doesn't mean you'll have a terrible life. It doesn't mean you'll have a miserable life. You'll have an abundant life which will be full of joy, full of peace, and full of strength because you're allowing God and the Holy Spirit to guide you. It means surrendering completely. I don't think that's God. It's all right. Galatians 5:25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. Not just when we come to church, but every part of our lives. It's hard. It's hard. We think we know best in lots of cases. And it's so hard just to surrender and let him do it. I know one of the things I had to do when I became a pastor was to surrender. It's very hard to surrender to God when you're up here sometimes. You want to do something and God's saying no. And people expect you to do things. People expect you to do things. In the church I was in, we used to allow silence. They looked for God to just after worship. And you could almost see people who weren't used to it fidgeting, like looking at the clock. What's he doing? When's he going to do something? For goodness sake, do something, will you? You know, I'm sitting here waiting for you to do something, speak or pray. But no, we were waiting for the Holy Spirit to do something. And when we did, he did. We need to surrender. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day and ask him to control our day every day. I can be personal. My prayer every morning is, Holy Spirit, change me, control me, guide me, and fill me today. That's my prayer every morning. And if I don't pray it, my day is different. For some unknown reason I don't pray it, my day I know is different. But we need to allow him to do it. Let him take complete control. And it comes because God loves you. God loves me. He loves you. He wants us to have the best life. He wants to give us that best life, and he gives it to us if we allow him to lead us and guide us in everything. Because if we do, we can see, if we do, he'll see and hear what he wants us to do. I read a little article, and it's a very old article I read during the week. There was a church in church in California, and I don't know whether I got the right pronunciation. Place that is called Tulare or something in California. And many years ago, God was moving powerfully in the church. He was doing amazing things in this particular church. And the pastor wrote a whole thing, what he felt, how he felt God was doing in his life as well. And I think it does sum up this big question of release. I've just taken little extracts because it's quite a long article. And he said, there are no words that can describe what it feels like to be free to worship him with an open heart that has been healed and set free of all the pain of my past. You can say that you give it to him or you forgive, but you're not free until you do it with your heart and change. It's all about the heart. The joy of his presence fills. The touch of his presence heals. Those who receive will never be the same. Those who receive will never be the same. And I honestly believe if we release, we change and we surrender, we will never be the same again. We will never be the same because God will be in control of our lives. And I really sense, when I was preparing this, and I sense, even now, I sense God is challenging us this morning as individuals. He's challenging each one of us this morning. Will you let today be a new beginning in your life? Will you let God take complete control this morning? Will you release all those things of the past and come into that right relationship? Will you let the Holy Spirit heal you this morning and set you free? Will you surrender your whole life either afresh or anew to him this morning? And let the Holy Spirit fill you with his power and his love. And you will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. That's a stone cold cert guarantee. You will never be the same. Whew. I really sense this morning I've got to give an opportunity. And I'm going to do two things this morning. I really feel that, and I know. You'd say, how do I know? Because it might sound strange, but the Holy Spirit has told me. There are people here this morning that need to release things. We all need to, but I know there are people who have really been struggling. And they are struggling. They need to release things from their lives to come into that real full relationship with God. I'm going to give an opportunity now for you to just do that. I don't want you to come out the front or anything like that. God can do it exactly where you sit now. And I just want to pray for anyone that wants release. And all you have to do is, as we pray, we'll have a time of quiet. And don't worry, there may be a bit of time of silence, so don't fret about it. It's God, I believe God's working. I believe the Holy Spirit is here in power. I can feel it all over me. And I believe he will heal you. And I believe he'll set you free. And your life will be different. Your life will be different. All those things I talked about, unforgiveness, anger, hurts from the past, maybe you've had traumas in the past, those things, let the Holy Spirit release you, set you free from them, and your life will be different. Forgive. Heal. Be healed. So I'm going to do that. Then after we've done that, we'll sing a song. And the closing song is one of what I call total surrender. But I'll talk about that later. So let's all just pray now. I just invite you now to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon us now. Reveal those things in our lives that we need to release to you. Those things which we've held for so long in our past. All those things which, if you set us free, we can draw into that close relationship with you and start living that abundant life that you promise. So come, Holy Spirit, move amongst us now. Search our hearts, search our spirits. Release now. As he brings things to your mind, just say to him, Lord, I release those things to you this morning. You don't have to say that loud, just quietly in your hearts. And I believe he will. If you need healing this morning, just say, Lord, I need healing for this. And I believe he will.